you put everybody's mind at ease, rest assured you will say or do something stupid because that we all do. That happens because we're not perfect.
You are listening to the Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello and welcome to episode 76 of the Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. My goal is always to empower you and your family to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for unnecessary medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. When we think of dementia, we usually focus on memory loss, confusion, and the need to make sure our person stays safe. We may overlook more subtle changes in our person, like an increased need for time to process information and more explanation about people and situations that used to be familiar. The net result is they can start feeling like they don't belong in a situation, they're being ignored, and worse, they just don't matter anymore. In this episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa, Christy and I discuss how those feelings can lead to a change in usual mood, plus little tweaks with big impact care partners to make to ensure your person feels included and valued. So Christy, just before we went live, we were talking about this topic, and you're saying that sometimes the person who has dementia has these feelings that they don't feel important anymore, they don't feel that they matter or that they're ignored. And I guess I hadn't really given, you know, that much thought to it, but now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I definitely realize more of what you're saying. But if you could go ahead and explain to our listeners what this topic is going to be about, I'd appreciate that.
Sure. So a lot of times when we're thinking dementia, of course, we're thinking memory loss, and we're often concentrating on making sure our person is safe and like, are they engaged? Are they having a good time? Is everything cool? But we forget some of the just little tweaks that we can make to make sure that everything's cool and groovy. And one of those things is that often as care partners or other family members, we will have conversations like we always used to, meaning if my sister and I are together, we're going to talk a mile a minute. If we have a family member living with dementia there at the same time, that is going to be too rapid fire a conversation for that person to keep up with, to understand what's going on, and to feel excluded. So there you go. Well, I guess you two are just interested in talking to each other. You don't even need me here. I guess I'm not important.
Right. And I hear that like in the doctor's visits and stuff, people talk to the doctor like their loved one's not even in the room.
Or the doctor does it. Yes. That kind of thing. It's really just chipping away at somebody's dignity. And I know that as care partners, we would never intentionally mean to do that, but that's the net effect. And for people living with dementia, one of the things I think that gets missed so often is somebody's emotional state, their emotional fragility. And typically, when that gets discussed at all, we use the word behaviors. And you can't see me, but I'm using air quotes when I say behavior. And so we go, well, why are they doing this thing or why are they doing that thing? And that's typically when language has devolved and they're not able to verbally express what they're feeling or what they need. And earlier in the process, we have this fantastic opportunity, although we can do it all the way through someone's life, to really let our person know, I value you. You are important. This family doesn't work without you. You are a big deal. And just think about for yourself, if you're having a crummy day, or like we were talking about last week, you know, if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, am I getting dementia? Because I just feel so stressed out and all of that. What if someone came up to you and put their arm around you and said, I love you? Or, you know, my life is better because you're in it. Just that type of emotional support, that type of acknowledgement, that type of actually being seen is a very big deal. We know what it would feel like for us if that happened for us. So when we do that for our person and let them know how important they are, how vital they are to being part of the family, to being in our lives, that makes a big difference in how they show up and how they're feeling and how they're able to manage and navigate through social situations.
And not, it's not just the words, right? It's the actions. We might have a tendency to kind of have them as a to-do item on our list of things to get done. And if we're not including them and involving them in that, and we're excluding them, then we're not expressing that in that way as well.
Lordy, yes. So remember, we always want to bring the good stuff, respect, kindness, love, empathy, and compassion. And then we share that with our person. And when we are looking at our person as a something on our to-do list, as a series of tasks that need to be done, that's not showing any of the good stuff. That's not bringing the good stuff. And people feel it, whether we say something explicitly or not. There's a difference between saying something like, come on over to the table with me, we're going to have lunch together, and saying it with that smile and bringing that energy of, you're somebody I want to spend time with. You're somebody important to me. I want to do this thing together with you. That's a really significant difference of that. And okay, stand up, come over to the table, sit down here. No, put here, let me push your seat in. Oh, okay. No, use the fork. No, don't mess around with that. Leave your water glass alone. Don't put a spoon in the water. Just here, try this, eat this. Here, well, okay, fine, hold it in your hand. You see, it's just a very different thing when we're really focusing on a task and saying the thing is we want our person to eat the meal because they need nutrition, and we're just looking at it as very much the mechanics of it and the task, the thing that needs to be done. Completely different type of energy than I want to be with you and we happen to be sharing a meal at the same time.
It makes a lot of sense when you hear it put like that. And I know our care partners don't mean to, you know, be doing that, but you get so wrapped up in that that you probably don't even realize you're doing it. So bringing that good stuff, you can still get it accomplished, but with a whole different tone and interaction. So I just love the way you present that.
Yeah, it's just completely different. And again, if you put yourself into that position, if you were the person who was living with dementia, how would you want interactions to go? Because this is the person, you know, you as the care partner are the person that is often the center of, you know, your spouse, your parent, whoever it is. You're the center of their universe. You are the person who makes the magic happen. You make everything okay. You create the safety. You're very powerful. And so you can make everything okay and make your person feel important and like they are just a really important part of the family, of the household. And I know, just like Mike said, when we get task oriented, it's not because we want to be jerks. We never want to be jerks. We never intentionally do that. But it can happen when we're starting to feel stressed out and like there's a whole bunch of stuff to do. And just another way to help our person know that they matter, for them to feel like they matter, is to include them in tasks that need to be done as part of daily household living. So if laundry needs to be done and it's just driving you nuts, have your person help.
I sit here envisioning myself, you know, in my marriage, we each have our roles that we've just kind of developed over our 15 plus years of marriage. And I'm sitting here thinking, wow, if Maria was doing, you know, I wash dishes and she cleans up after dinner. If she's washing the dishes and I'm sitting there watching her and she's not including me, you know, it's ingrained in me. It's muscle memory. It's that those cognitive pathways are there, right? So my spirit and my emotions are definitely going to be impacted by being left out of that process that I've done every day for, you know, years.
Right. It's that procedural memory. This is what happens after dinner.
Right. And so, of course,
this routine.
Yep. You know, when I look at it that way, and when I sit there and I envision it, I can definitely see how that would have an impact on my emotions.
Oh, absolutely. How could it not? And this is something that people living with dementia often, like, and that was a great example you gave, Mike, where you could maybe even have your feelings hurt.
Right.
Why is this happening differently? This isn't how it usually happens. Why can't I be doing that anymore? Why am I being excluded from that? And again, the person may not be consciously or verbally saying those questions, but that could be going through their mind, like, this is different. Why is it different? What have I done that's wrong? And that often is what people will take on. What did I do wrong? Why? They feel like they're being punished if they're not included in the conversation, not included in the after dinner ritual. It's almost like they're not seen. They're feeling like they suddenly have become invisible. And as care partners, we think, well, I'm doing this or I'm taking on this extra, whatever it is, because I want to really support mom, or I really want to support my husband. And that's not actually how it's perceived.
Here, supporting them means keeping them engaged and involved and bringing that good stuff and keeping their spirits and their emotions up so that they feel that they are an important part of the family and that they do matter and that they're not being just ignored and left out.
Absolutely. And I, again, you know, I don't think that care partners ever do anything for some nefarious purpose or to be, you know, a jerk. But it's just sometimes we forget that as communication skills are changing for the person living with dementia, if you and your wife, Maria, Mike, are a good example. You know that post-dinner routine, and you may or may not be having a conversation during it, the two of you.
Right.
But it could be completely plausible that you would do it wordlessly, just working in companionable silence.
That's what I prefer. No.
Okay, yeah. But what if, God forbid, Maria developed dementia and you are still not talking? You're just doing the things that you do. You're not talking. Would she remember that that's the way that you've always done it, that it's always been companionable silence? Or would she get to a point where maybe she needed some support and encouragement that she's doing it right, that she's putting the pickle jar back in the fridge, that's the correct thing to do? Or is she thinking, is it supposed to go in the pantry? She's going to need some type of verbal support. And then also just, I see you, I'm not ignoring you. And again, this just goes back to perception. And things change over time as the condition is progressing. So as care partners, if we can be really aware of what our person's perception is And I'm not asking you to be a mind reader, but you can easily read the cues. So if Maria is usually a complete doll and suddenly she's slamming some things down on the counter, wait a minute, that's not normal. So Maria's out of sorts. Maybe Maria needs some further explanation, some further support or assistance.
So while we want to keep that routine there for the involvement and all, we want to be mindful that we do need to adapt it, because dementia is obviously a very unique and demanding situation. And no one's, you know, most care partners aren't trained in the disease. So all these things are kind of a surprise to us, because we think, oh, you know, if we just get this stuff done, and then they'll understand that we're doing it to help them. But that's not how dementia works. And you're right. We do have kind of a silent routine at night. But if it was Maria with it, I would have to break out of that, because that was my preference probably, and assist her more and adapt to her situation so that she feels successful.
Right? Yes.
I don't want her to feel like she's failing or you know, because that's not good either.
Absolutely. And, you know, here's a great example. This is a real life story of clients of mine where it's a married couple and they have a very specific morning ritual. And there's, you know, hugging and kissing and good morning and I love you so much. And this is for like 60 years of marriage. This has been the morning routine of not just hugs, kisses, and I love you, but 10 minutes of what are you doing today? Okay, this is what I'm doing today. I know you're going to have a great day today. Well, I know you're going to have a great day today. Okay, make it an awesome day. No, you make it an awesome day. And it's just like a go team kind of huddle of really positive. And, you know, we are a team and we love each other and we're going to have a great day and can't wait to, gosh, I get to spend a day with you. This has been the routine. And of course, you know, back in the day it was, okay, honey, see you when you get home from work. But this has been the routine for a very long time. Well, recently, one of the spouses had surgery. And because of that, and this is the spouse who doesn't have dementia, had a hip replacement. And so that means there's had to be some other folks involved that could help with anything that she needed with getting her surgical site, you know, if it needed a dressing change or something like that, and pain medication, what have you. And so the caregiver from the agency came in at the usual time. And so as soon as the caregiver came in, the wife who'd have the hip replacement said, oh, this is kind of the kind of night that I had. And I think the dressing's I'm going to need some help with changing the dressing. And I could use some pain medication. And the husband just stormed out of the room. So the wife, you know, hobbles along. What happened? Why are you upset? Well, I guess I don't matter. You don't want to spend time with me. You want to talk to that lady. I don't know who that lady is. Talking about the caregiver. So certainly not the case. The routine was still continuing to spend that really special time, 10 minutes together in the morning. But the husband, having dementia, didn't comprehend why there was another person coming in, why his wife needed to have that conversation, and instead just felt like, I guess I don't matter. So that's one of those things where it just became a misunderstanding that could have been handled a little bit differently. And there was no way to know that that was going to be the reaction or the response, but include the husband in it. Oh, hey, honey, this is Janie, and she's going to help me with that sore I have there on my hip. And I need to tell her a couple of things, but I want to stay here and hold hands with you while I'm telling her, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do your best to keep him there and involved in that moment. But even then, he still may feel jealousy or that, you know, who's this person here taking up our time? You know, because he's not, but he may not be able to comprehend everything that's going on, right? So you got to be really attuned to what's happening with his emotional demeanor.
Definitely. So, you know, we can't force people to feel a certain way, but we can do our best to make sure that they're feeling included, that they're part of the conversation, and that we give them some explanation of what's going on. Because this was a change in the usual routine. There's not usually a caregiver who comes in to do any kind of help. So just a lot of times our assumption is, well, you know, this caregiver has come every morning for the last week. So that's part of the routine now. Well, no, that's not necessarily the way your person is perceiving the situation.
Christy, I want to turn the topic a little bit here, because when I first started Together in This, I was interviewing and speaking with people who were in early end of their diagnoses of typically Alzheimer's. Some couple of people had Lewy body dementia. And one thing that would come up is that, one, a lot of friends and family were kind of just disappearing. And two, the people that were staying around and close to them were oftentimes trying to do too much for them and pulling away responsibilities that they had always had. For instance, maybe they were the ones who paid the bills and they could still do a lot of that. But of course, the spouse is going to worry, is it being done right? So I think it's maybe we can talk a little bit about, you know, for that new care partner who maybe their loved ones in the earlier stages, being careful not to. Dr. Butte, who has dementia, said it, you know, do more with us and less for us.
Yes, 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 yes. you know, people don't like to have things done to them.
You know, I guess what I'm kind of thinking of is when people are earlier in the disease and all, there's that high risk of depression. And
sure.
And the more people stay away, now they're feeling like they don't matter. People don't love them and care for them anymore. When in fact, a lot of people are just ignorant about the disease and afraid of, you know, they're going to be embarrassed themselves because they're going to do something stupid or say something
right.
stupid. I remember having that feeling when I first met somebody who was actually 20 years into their disease. I was able to work through that. But so I think it's important that we, you know, people remember that these are still their friends. They're still their family. They need to still go and engage with them and put your ego aside that you might say something stupid or screw up and get in there and learn and give them that love and support. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I completely agree. And just to put everybody's mind at ease, rest assured you will say or do something stupid, because that we all do. That happens. Because we're not perfect. We're humans. And when we're learning new things or trying new techniques or just living life, maybe not necessarily paying attention closely or just, again, just life, sometimes, you know, stuff happens and it's not the end of the world. We may not feel great about it, but we realize like, oops, didn't mean to say that, or, oh, won't do that twice. And that's okay. To my mind, it goes back to kind of what energy are you bringing? And, you know, nobody in either of our tribes, in the Dementia Sherpa tribe or Together in This tribe, none of those people are full of malice and trying to do something mean or awful. So we know you're not like that. And sometimes you're going to make a mistake, and that's okay. And it's always okay to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, or I'm sorry, that wasn't what I meant to say, or whatever it is. It's also okay to remember, you don't have to be afraid of this person. You've known this person for years. You know, either they raised you, or you married them, or whatever the situation may be. You've known them for a long time. They're still the same person. That soul is still exactly the same, and they just have different abilities now, or a different way of looking at things or managing things. And so it may keep you on your toes, but they're still the same person. And I think if you have the mindset that you're going to do with and be supportive, so you don't want to watch somebody flounder and struggle, but you want to assume that they're able to do what they're trying to do. Now, if it's clear, like, nope, they're struggling. You can always say, hey, can I offer you a hand? Can I help you with that? They're going to say yes or no. And if it's an angry no, please don't take it personally, because it's not. It's that person having frustration that maybe they're not able to do something in the same way they used to be able to do something. And it's okay for people to get frustrated. It's okay for people to be sad or angry or feel depressed. Those feelings pass, and feelings just are. There's no right or wrong. So we don't want to make somebody feel bad, but it's okay if they're experiencing emotions that, you know, make them cry. It's all right. We're not responsible for making them happy 24/7. And they'll be happy again.
Yeah, I'm sitting here picturing if I was, you know, the son and my dad or mom had dementia and I hadn't visited them in a while and I'm trying to get up the courage to go over there. And, you know, it's fall and I'm picturing leaves on the ground in the yard and I'm picturing my dad out doing yard work. And then, you know, I go over there and I can see the yard's not been taken care of and to how he did it over the years and, or she did it, not meaning to be sexist here, but, maybe, you know, cause I think sometimes people get stuck indoors too. So maybe it'd be an opportunity for me to say, hey dad, you want to go outside and rake some leaves or, you know, try to get him involved, get her involved in doing things that we remember them doing and then feeling it out and see how they respond and assisting them along the way to do that. Maybe it was cooking Christmas cookies. It's not too early to cook some Christmas cookies, right? So, so maybe it's, you know, helping them through these traditions, if you will, that we remember from our growing up with them and just if they can't cook and all, but we have them there and talk through it, memories with them as we do it. I think those are great.
Yeah, there are lots of different ways to experience something. So, you know, raking leaves is a great example. If somebody's able to do that, they might say, yeah, great, let's do that. Or often, you know, as somebody earlier in the process, oh, good, that seemed really overwhelming, but since you're here to help, great. They realize, like, okay, now I have another body. Fantastic. People a little further along, maybe so-called raking, and they're kind of just going over the same spot and not making a lot of progress. That's okay. You're going to do the bulk of the work. They're going to be raking the same spot, and that's fine. They're doing something that they're engaged in, and they're doing it with you, and they're enjoying it, and that's fine. So that's just where we don't want to like start correcting someone. No, you've done the same spot over and over again. And then some people, and I think these people, in my mind, I think these people have been clever their whole lives long, will say something like, you know, I think that's a great idea. Why don't you go ahead and get started and I'll be there in just a minute. And they might peek out the window and make sure you're doing it right. Or they might even sit out there with you and say, yeah, you're doing fine. Why don't you get that spot? And they're just very good at directing others. And a lot of times families will say, well, I know they're just covering. Well, who cares? You know, you're going to be there and be helpful. And they're, again, still feeling like they're doing it with you. It's something that you're doing together. That's fine.
Christy, I think it's so important that in the beginning of the episode, I said, I wasn't really sure what we were talking about here, but now it's totally clear with me what we're talking about when we're talking about someone feeling like they just don't matter or they're being ignored. And it's so important and such a great topic and to help our care partners understand how to keep their loved ones engaged and feeling successful and just, you know, keeping that good stuff coming so that their lives are just continually enriched and that love is being felt. So I definitely appreciate you putting this topic on the list and discussing it with our listeners today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for letting me talk about it.
Oh, of course, Christy. So, well, thanks again and we'll talk again next week.
looking forward to it. Thank you.
This concludes our conversation with Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, right here on the Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. Be sure to check out the show notes for any mentioned resources or links at togetherinthis.com/episode76. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, you can do so there, and that way you won't miss any upcoming episodes. Bye now, and I hope you come back next week. You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.